Hebrews chapter 11 and beginning with verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand, and he specifically lists this, that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony: he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to do what Enoch did. It is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And Paul will go on in this chapter then, and he will cite example after example after example of men and women who in the generations before him had exampled the kind of faith of which he speaks. The kind of faith with which we can please God. And the kind of faith without which we can never hope to please God. You see, there is a faith that pleases him, and there is a faith that does not. Oh, we quote out of the book of James chapter 2 from time to time about what the devils do and about the faith that they have. They tremble, but they're not saved. They're lost. It's a faith that is displeasing rather than pleasing to God. Faith. You can't turn your Bible in your Bible very many pages without bumping into the Word again and finding another example of that, or another way by which we can help to define that and determine what it looks like as it's lived out in the year 2015. That's just all over your Bible and mine. I'm just here to tell you this morning that your faith is reasonable. I know in our enlightened age that being people of faith is by many looked upon as a thing that is relevant only to the past, and that we're hanging on to that tenaciously with skinny fingers, that which the rest of the world is quickly letting go of. So that people of faith, while at one time in this nation it was just simply taken for granted that if you were an American you were probably a person of faith, it is not so taken for granted anymore. So I encourage us all to hold on to our faith and to remember that that is the only reasonable way to live your life. That what all of those that stand opposed to faith say is the way life ought to be lived are unreasonable in their approach. And while they chide us for not having what to them seems like to be a reasoned explanation for life as life is to be lived, we must chide them in return for the foolishness of unbelief. You say, well, Larry, you're a person of faith. You believe in stuff you've never seen, right? Yes, I do. So you worship a God that you've never seen. That's correct. You worship a God whose voice you have never heard. That's correct. You believe in prayer, that there's something special about you just saying some words that somebody somewhere will hear, this person or thing that you call God, and that thing will then act in a positive manner on the request that you have made, and stuff will change in this world because you ask for it. Well, that's, put a little crudely, but yes, that's what I believe. And so I pray. And you believe in life after death? Yes, I do. When you've been to cemetery after cemetery, and yes, I have, and done a lot of funerals. And in every cemetery where you go, every stone that you walk around or by, that person is dead, not alive. And the world wants to demand of us some kind of evidence that if we would believe in life after death, where in the world is that evidence? And so the world constantly is searching for that evidence, wanting to know what we believe and know to be true. They want to know it too, and they'd like to believe it too, but there's just no evidence, they say, and there is no proof. So how can you possibly believe that? So the world scrambles around, you know, and it does all the stuff that the world knows to do, and it's the only stuff the world knows how to do, and that's try to hook a person up to a machine. And let's just watch this guy, you know. I mean, he's given us permission. He's going to watch us while he dies, and we're going to watch him. And the moment that he dies, when that flatlines across there, you know, and there's no brain activity, and the doctor pronounces him dead, our machines will be checking all of that stuff. So they checked it over and over and over and over again. You know what they found? Nothing. It didn't. Nothing. I mean, the person that was there was alive, and that person is not alive anymore. Doesn't weigh less than he did before. Nothing is different about him other than bodily functions have ceased. They find nothing. They've set up infrared cameras and done all that kind of stuff to see what's not normally visible to the human eye as a person approaches death. And when they die, they don't see anything leaving the body. No evidence of anything. You say, yeah, Larry, you're telling me that you believe in life after death. Yes, I do. I don't believe in it. I am certain of it. I am absolutely convinced of the reality of God, of the truth of His Scripture, of the life after death that He has spoken of. I have not one small doubt anywhere in my mind that that is not so. Well, why? Why? Because of what Paul says in Hebrews 11. Because of the nature of faith. Faith is substance. Faith is real. It's as real as this pulpit is. It's as real as this microphone is. Faith is real. It is substance. It is what stands under everything that I hold dear. Faith holds all of that up. The things that I count to be important and precious in life. Faith is what helps me define that and how I am to relate to all of that. Faith is then as well, he says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, it is evidence. The world may deny the validity of that evidence, but it is evidence. And it is evidence of those things that we cannot see. Your faith and my faith. Evidence of things not seen. The reality of that faith leads us to live our lives differently than we would lead it otherwise. We conduct ourselves in a whole different way. Our speech is affected. Our thought processes are affected. Our happy mode is affected based upon our faith. And I'm just here to tell you that it is reasonable. While the world may speak of us being people of blind faith, the Scriptures don't know anything about blind faith. The Scriptures challenge us continually as people who are intelligent. God knows how He created us. We are intelligent people. We can investigate. And over, God challenges us to investigate whether those things really occurred. Are those things really so? And on the basis of that investigation, we draw conclusions. You know, we do stuff like that. I mean, every court system in America, and I guess in many of the other lands. If you serve on a jury in a criminal case, the judge who's dealing with that and handling that jury, and you're sitting on that jury, they don't expect that you as a juror will have seen this act committed. So you're about to judge a guy, and you didn't see him do anything wrong. You didn't hear him do anything wrong. You had no contact with this guy. You never met that guy before he showed up in court, and you were there sitting in that juror's chair. And yet we will, on the basis of what is presented in that court, that none of us have seen, but because of the evidence that is brought in, we will find guilt or we will find innocence. There's not enough evidence to accept it, or there is more than enough evidence to send this guy to the chair. And we will put him to death. Judged guilty on the basis of evidence. Guilty of an action that we did not witness. That's how strong evidence is, you know, and that's all that God appeals for us to do. I mean, yeah, it'd be nice to see that stuff up there and know in that way, know through our physical senses of the reality of that, I guess, but that's not the way God set this up. God set this up to work through faith. And He's placed enough evidence in this world, in your life, in this revelation, that if we will investigate the evidence, if we will consider the evidence in an honest fashion, we'll walk away considering, convinced, yes, there is a God. So some look at this evidence and say, well, that's not enough. You know, I mean, that's a Bible, it's an old book, and I don't know about all that stuff. I'm convinced of God. But then something happens in the course of life's way. They've not been convinced of this God stuff. But he marries this girl that he loves with all of his heart. And what he could not see in the Word of God, or would not see in the Word of God, when somebody plopped open a Bible before him, he now sees in her life. So that Peter wrote of the reality of that, of what love for other people can do for us. And how it can change us. Peter said that these husbands may, without the word, be won by the way their wife lives. Because he sees some things that he had never seen before lived out in that person. There is evidence in the Word of God. There is evidence in the creation. There is evidence in the lives of people that you know that can convince you of the reality of the certainty of God. Listen, let me say this. This business of living by faith, everybody does. Sort of the guy that says to you, that's just ridiculous, you know, this living by faith stuff. Everybody lives by faith. The guy that says that and the guy that doesn't say that. We all live by faith. We couldn't live any other way. I mean, you just... life would cease to function. Back when my brother Randy was down getting some treatments in Texas, and Don and I went down to be with him and Phyllis for a while, Randy was having one of the good days, and so he didn't have a treatment scheduled that day, so we took off, Randy and I did, and we headed over to Arlington, and we paid our $20 each to take a tour of Cowboy Stadium. I was impressed. Later on, Lauren was with us when we were down there, and we took Lauren and let her tour it as well. I didn't hesitate to go in that thing. It's huge, you know. It's big. And all that stuff that's over our head is really heavy stuff. None of us could lift it. All of us together couldn't lift that stuff. But I walked right in. Not for a moment feeling that my life was in danger or that I was threatened by having all of that heavy stuff hanging over my head. But why not? Because of the evidence. Well, you know, just a little evidence is all that it takes. The building was built by licensed, contracted architectural and construction people. It was built to codes. All the specifics of code were met. It was inspected time and time again throughout the various stages, and everybody that inspected it said, it's all right. Folks can go in there and hoop and holler, and they'll be fine. To believe that in going in there you're risking your life? That's not very reasonable. All of life is really, as we live it, is really just based on our faith. When the alarm went off this morning and you reached up behind your head where the light switch was or wherever the light switch was that you hit, and you put your hand out and you touched the wall and the little plate that's there, you did that without any hesitation, without any thought about the fact that within a quarter inch of your fingers is this current, you know, that we use to kill people. You plug an appliance in and you don't give it a second thought. Why? Because all the evidence suggests to us, and we conclude as we examine that evidence, that it's perfectly safe to do that. You can flip on a light, you can plug in an appliance, and it's going to be okay. If I were to go through my life refusing to do all of that, that would seem to be an unreasonable position to take. So we choose rather the business of faith. We'll live by faith that all of that stuff is going to work as that stuff has been designed. We are, by nature, people of faith. I don't know why we struggle with it so much with God. You go in to see these this afternoon because your milk supply ran out over Thanksgiving. You go back to the refrigerators where the milk is kept, or you stop by Walmart and you go in there and say, I need a jug of milk. And so you get in there and get that gallon of milk. Is it a gallon? Yeah, well, Larry, it says it's a gallon. Well, but is it a gallon? Well, it says it's 64 ounces, but is it a gallon? You don't know it's a gallon. It might be 1 ounce short. It might be 2 ounces over. You're willing to accept, though, that it's a gallon of milk. Is it 1% fat? Well, it says it's 1% fat. You might need to demand proof beyond the label and what it says on the label. You might need to take along your chemistry sets, you know. We don't do any of that kind of stuff. Because of the evidences that are there and our investigation of that we have done regarding whatever it is, we feel perfectly fine. You don't ever go into an airport, you buy your ticket online or through a travel agency or whatever. You go into an airport to pay for your ticket, pick all that stuff up. You don't ever say to the attendant behind the counter, you guarantee me a safe flight. Well, the lady back there, the gentleman back there, hey, say, flying is safer than automobiles. You're going to get where you're going, and it's going to get there quicker, and it'll be fine. This is a safe, proven way of transportation. Would you guarantee that? Would you write on a sheet of paper and have the guy sign it that's in authority over here, I promise that this thing will not fall out of the sky? Well, they're not going to do that, but because some have fallen out of the sky. Prudent people will get on a plane anyway. Why? Because all of the evidence leads you to only one conclusion. If I get on the plane, it'll make it to its destination. I'm willing to weigh those other circumstances as being flukes, and I'll go ahead and get on the plane, or I'll get in my car and drive down the highway with another bullet approaching me at 70 miles an hour without thinking a thought about it, because I live by faith. All of us live by faith. It's just with God that we have the struggle for some reason or another. Faith is reasonable. It is not fantasy. It is not fiction. It is a fact that leads us on in our journey to God. It is, the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 11, it is the evidence of things not seen. It is through faith, verse 3, that we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. You talk about a subject that's debated a lot, that is argued over the supper table and discussed around restaurant tables, and how did all of this come into being? Well, the Christian has a ready answer. We live by faith. We accept the fact that by faith we understand how God made this, and we accept what He revealed in the book of Genesis about what He has made. And but there are people that don't believe that at all. Any notion of a creation. We believe in God. What do they believe in? Well, they don't believe in God. Their faith is not in God. Well, what is their faith in? Their faith is in an explosion. A big old explosion had occurred way back yonder somewhere before anything else was done or considered or thought of. Millions and millions and millions of years ago, they believe in an explosion. And from that, it was an explosion. Well, did you see the explosion? None of them saw it. Well, did you hear the explosion? Well, no, none of them heard it. I mean, it was deep in outer space, and there's not any atmosphere, and so sound doesn't carry. There wouldn't be any sound in this big explosion. But you believe in something that you haven't seen and you haven't heard. You didn't personally witness. Why do you believe in that? In an explosion. Well, evidence, you know. The evidence. What else could it be? It could be God. No, it couldn't be God. Have you ever seen an explosion that did good? An aftermath, you blow up a firecracker, what's the result? You blow up a case of TNT, you drop an atomic bomb, what's the result of any explosion that you've ever witnessed or heard about? Chaos. Destruction. We're over there bombing some things now over in the Middle East. We hit a munitions plant over there. And boy, the explosion is huge. We capture it on the cameras, on our surveillance equipment. Huge explosion. You go in there and look at the hole after the explosion is over. Little bits and pieces of metal and this and that and the other scattered around. You never go in there expecting to find a Ford F-150 brand new and shiny. That as a result of that explosion, something marvelous happened. The only place ever, in any way, that we ever think that something marvelous came out of an explosion was out of the Big Bang came you. And came me. Every other living thing, every other planet, every other star, everything came as a result of that one big explosion. When you look down at the bottom of the hole, there we are. And I'm not trying to be silly. I'm not trying to poke fun of other folks that have investigated and they've come to that conclusion that that's a sensible way to explain things to them. I choose faith over that. What do you believe in? Well, Larry, I believe in evolution. Well, okay. Which theory of evolution do you believe? Well, I just believe in evolution. That's all. For all our talking about the things that we believe and don't believe, we do very little investigating. We rely almost completely upon other people that we trust and that we value and what their opinion is, but personal investigation, we don't do much. There's 26 theories of evolution if you want to investigate all of them, distinct and different theories. You understand what a theory is, don't you? Well, it's, evolution is a fact. No, evolution is a theory. It's an opinion. You say, well, I believe that, you know, we got different dogs than we used to have. We got different sized horses than we used to have. Right, that's within a species. That has always been consistent with what God has created. God created the potential within a species of a plant or of animal for variations of that over the passage of time. But never any hint of any kind of thing between species. You put a cow together with a fish, you know. Not going to happen. So a theory is just an opinion. What is an opinion? Opinion is just a guess. And sometimes our guesses are not very good. We walk by faith. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 2, I believe it was, or 7, we walk by faith. We don't walk by sight. We believe in all kinds of stuff in this world, we being everybody, that we have never seen, that we have never heard, but we believe it exists because of the testimony of someone else or because of what we have read in a book. I have a watch on my arm right up here. There it is. You say, well, Larry, where'd that come from? I was not there when it was made. But I believe it was made. I believe somewhere there's a watch factory. Have you seen a watch factory? No, I've never seen a watch factory. I've never taken a tour of a watch factory. We've never, in all of our driving and traveling, we've never driven by a watch factory. But I believe in a watch factory. What other option is, I mean, the presence of that thing hanging on my wrist, where else can I go other than to believe that there was somebody, there is a plant somewhere that has designers in that plant, and has an engineering department, it has a structure department that uses the materials to put all that together, and a shipping department that sends it out. And that's only reasonable to believe that, folks. That's not fantastic stuff. Does design really require a designer? Do we believe in design or do we believe in chaos? Does creation really demand a creator? Does natural law really demand a lawgiver that established the law in the first place? I believe in God. And in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in what God has shown of us in His creation, of what God has shown of us in His Son, and what God shows of Himself in other people that He places around us. I believe we exist for a purpose. I think the Scriptures testify to us of that purpose, of our reason for being here. I believe the Scriptures, the Bible, to be the Word of God. Why do you believe that? Well, because of the evidence. That's why we believe anything. We believe it because of the evidence. There's no other reasonable conclusion when you think about this book. It started to be written 3,600 years ago and took over 1,500 years to finish it before it was finally done. It's historically accurate. Any event in history that you want to read here will not be contradicted by anything we've ever discovered out there. We thought we found some things that this historical account contradicted what we thought we had found out there, but the more we looked at it, the more it didn't. The people, the languages, the cultures, the religious practices of those of olden time outlined in the Scripture, the more we dig into Syria and Afghanistan and Iraq and Egypt and those places, the more the shovel uncovers the evidence of the correctness of Scripture. Historically accurate, geographically accurate, scientifically accurate. When Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 40 back a long time ago, it is about the Lord, it is He that sitteth on the circle of the earth. You know, we didn't know that was so, other than what the Scripture said about the circle of the earth. You know that for millennia, our conviction concerning this world in which we live was that it was flat. Otherwise, the people on the other, if it's a circle or something like that, the people on the downside would fall off, disappear. We had no human language or human concept or understanding by which we could describe how anybody could live on a round thing stuck out in the middle of nowhere. But the Scriptures reference that over and over again. Job said in Job 16 that what God does is He took this earth and He hung it on nothing. We couldn't accept that either. We had to put it on somebody's back. We had to put it sitting on top of something else. We couldn't conceive of a world that is literally suspended on nothing. We didn't know for sure until not long ago. We supposed, because we had traveled finally, we headed west and went all the way around in a circle and came back on the east coast. And smarter and brilliant minds among us concluded, looks like it's around. Looks like it's circled. If you can go one direction, come right back where you started, must be a circle. We didn't know for sure. Could be just really thick, a slab, you know. Until we sent that first camera up on that first satellite that circled this world. And then we know. And we are absolutely convinced. Even though the Flat Earth Society still exists, we are absolutely convinced that this earth hangs on nothing. Over and over, in your word, in your Scripture, and in mine, it becomes evident that God knows what He's doing. We may not always understand. Our knowledge may continue to be limited. Some of our questions that we have may still go unanswered. But there is enough evidence, folks, to convince us all of who God is if we will investigate, and of how God would have us to live as people so that we can enjoy that life that is more abundant, that is filled with peace and with joy, with hope, and with just the right touch of happiness. Well, what have we got if we don't walk by sight or walk by faith? Well, you got everything you see around you. Any of that that you want, all of that you want, if you're walking by sight, that's what you got. That's all that you've got. You may not get very much of that, but that's all there is to it. So if you want to party, then you can party. If you want to live immoral lives, you can live immoral lives. You can do it until the day that you die. But just know that that's all there is. You live without faith. You live without hope. Thank you for being here today. We're going to sing a song of invitation now. If you're here and not a Christian, it's based upon faith, you know. But you do believe in God, if you believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, if you believe in the power of His sacrifice, and that what He did at Calvary, He did for your sins as well as for mine. If you're willing to repent of sin and confess the faith that you have in Christ, we'll baptize you this morning, immerse you into Christ for the remission of those sins. He will add you to this spiritual body. And then in faith, we will walk together until we enter the portals of glory. Or maybe you need our prayers as God's child. We stand ready to assist with that. We'll sing the first and last stanza. You come while we stand and sing.